Hello and welcome to another episode of the Free on Free podcast. Now, I'll give you a warning up front. This may be a bit of a difficult one. Voices are a bit weak, shall we say. However, the domestic season is now done. And if you are of an orange disposition, life may be a little bit grander for you, as the Sheffield Steelers won the playoff weekend to complete a Grand Slam, first one for 23 years. However, it's not just Steelers success that we'll talk about. There's the other semi-final and other bits that we got from this weekend. To do that, well, we need the Diva, who is definitely struggling with the voice. And we've got Belfast Scott. So it's not a new person, it's Scott Finlay. We haven't put the photo of his forfeit, but we'll do that at some point. Gentlemen, how are you? Go on, John, tell us how bad you are.
Boys, you can tell from the first 2 seconds, this is like, I've been home for nearly a day and I'm not exactly sounding rather normal, should we say. The more you go to playoffs, boys, the more you realise it's a young man's game. And I was being quite sensible as well. That's what's really annoying me. I didn't go wild. I wanted to keep myself fresh for the games. And I still come up sounding like this. So, boys, you'll have to try and tolerate me not talking as much as normal tonight. Sorry, everybody.
That's a shame.
Yeah. I'm here, yeah, though.
Struggling to talk, but it's been his biggest intro he's had for some time. So, you know, never change, mate. Never change. I'm fresh as a daisy, of course. Sensible, kind of. Yeah, no, I'm good.
Good stuff. So we're just going to just jump straight into the games, and we'll go in a form of chronological order. So 3 p.m, semi-final one. It was the Steelers versus the Guildford Flames. Tight game going into the third period, and then everyone decided to start scoring. Goals were plenty. Sheffield pushed towards the end, got the lead, and ended up finishing a 6-3 victory. Let's go Belfast Scott. What are your overall thoughts on the game?
Can we address this Belfast Scott thing?
Because we'll do that later on.
Oh, okay. Thoughts on the game? I thought it was an entertaining watch, to be fair. I thought Guildford had the better of the first period, I'll be honest. The shots on goal might have said a little bit differently, but I thought Guildford shot the Sheffield Steelers a little bit. I don't think the Steelers were prepared for that, but yeah, I mean, a convincing win in the end. I think Sheffield just frustrated the life out of the Flames in the end. And 6-3 was the end result, but could have been going into the weekend. I thought it was done and dusted. And the Flames did put a good fight up, but I was never really convinced that the Steelers weren't going to win, even though they did go a goal down. If you listened to Aaron Murphy commentary, he said it was a bit of adversity that the Steelers had been through. Being a goal down, I don't think is much adversity, but shows a sign of a great championship winning team when they didn't really seem worried when they went a goal down. And in the end, a good win.
I think for me, the big difference was the goalie. I think he looked a bit poor at times. It probably wasn't a 3-goal scoreline. He maybe flattered Sheffield a little bit, but I felt that without McAdam, they've not looked the same. And I think that Sheffield, and bear in mind, Sheffield already without Simpson, lost two key players during the game as well. And because of that, they had to juggle the lines a little bit, I found, and obviously had to sort of try and get some new sort of chemistry with the guys. And I think they struggled for a little while to get a line that would match up with Guildford. Obviously, it kind of killed the game plan. You don't expect to lose two players, lost Newman and lost Valorand. Valorand, obviously, is a key component of the power play and penalty kill. And you don't just easily replace guys like that. I never felt like Sheffield were going to lose. I felt that they had enough to win the game comfortably. But it was nice to see the whole arena pretty much anti-Sheffield, and I was quite smug at the end result, to be fair.
I'm not going to lie, that was a world's healing moment where everything was back to hating Sheffield. I agree with both of you in that respect. It definitely weren't a 3-goal game. I panicked, I'm not going to lie, through to, I'm like, is this third time the charm for Guildford? But Like Scott said, champions find a way. For me, two players I thought really stepped up and made such a difference in the third, Cole Shouldra and our man Brendan Whistle.
Absolutely.
He got a bit of a bounce for the, I think it was a fifth goal. I think it were. That just thankfully landed on him and he able just to get the shot off. But they just stepped up to the plate. And yes, I felt Sheffield could have found a couple of runs more, but like John said, they lost, Valorand, Newman, Dowd struggling on the fourth line. He's, trying to do what he can. But they found the way and they got into the final. Guildford, they definitely brought their best game. Can't fault the effort from them. I don't like criticising goals, but Taz has never, when I've watched them, never given the confidence of he's going to steal a game. McAdam does. You know damn well McAdams can steal a game. That's the type of game he could steal. Burnham never.
The Bournemouth goal, it's not acceptable. Where is he going? Why is he chasing, trying to chase Watling around the back of the net? Watling is 2 foot from the paint. You can't be going around for him. And yes, I know Bournemouth has still got to put it in, but he was never set to save the shot. And it makes it look worse because it trickled through. But I mean, I don't think McAdam makes that error. And certainly the other end of the ice, Greenfield doesn't go chasing the player around the net. As a goalie, David, you must have been thinking, oh, Jesus Christ.
I was saying thank you very much.
You
I'm not gonna lie.
know what I mean, though.
No, 100%. Kind of like we needed something just to definitely went adversity, but just to address things, just to get us back into it, and it just kind of allowed us that bit of boost. But no, I question that as in, what's the mindset of that play? Because, like I say, and everything moved out. So the defence tried covering the close area, pucks moved out, and gave Balmers all the time in the world, but. So, Guildford are getting this reputation. Always the bridesmaid, never the bride. They're making the finals, they're making, the final four, and they're not making it, they're not getting over that line to make like the playoff final. When they get to the final of the Challenge Cup, they're not doing enough to win it. Where did Guildford go? And I appreciate last year they had a great season. Finished fifth this year. We all know Paul Dixon, we love Paul Dixon as a coach. What do they need to do to kind of address that little thing, which I think is probably what's preventing them from going further and becoming maybe one of the top three teams in the league?
Tough one for me because I think they perform as good as they can. They're not a low budget team, even though they're clearly low capacity in terms of the arena size. I don't know. I mean, they're still out competing teams that maybe they shouldn't, like some Nottingham, for example, and maybe even Glasgow. Guildford have come from being the big fish in a small pond for many years. They had a lot of success down in the EPL days and they stepped up and expected to be whipping boys in the elite league, and they never have been. They've always been competitive. They've always been a team that can frustrate you and beat big teams. But it's weird because we said in the past about how they know how to beat Sheffield and they got a game plan to frustrate Sheffield. It was there for the taking for them at the weekend, I think, with Sheffield being down, Simpson losing two players in games, in the game rather. They're pretty much down the line. And they still couldn't find enough. And I don't know, maybe their defence maybe needs a little bit of a tweak next season. You've got Kyle Lock, who's a quality player. I think he's a backbone of that defence at times. I think he, if he's not on his game, they struggle. And he was getting frustrated. He was chasing guys around a little bit the weekend and it maybe left them a little bit exposed. But I think, to be fair to Guildford, they overachieve in terms of where they've been. And it's easy to say, well, they're always second, they're always just that little bit behind. But I'm sure there's a few other clubs in the league that would take that over the way they currently perform.
They are playing a very good Sheffield team. It's just unfortunate that they had to play them in all the big games this year. Most teams have struggled against Sheffield Steelers, evidently, that they've just won a Grand Slam. So I don't mean you can read too much into it. I also think that it's now semi-rebuild time for the Guildford Flames. Can't go again with this squad, I don't think. And they have got budgets to do it. They've got a very good owner who will back them. They're not going to move out of that rink, so that's the way it's going to be. I also think there may be a hangover on recruitment with them not participating in Europe, because I feel that'll put players off as well, maybe going there. So it's whether the owners then take that seriously and get a Conti Cup, because I'm sure they'll be allowed to play in a Conti Cup going forward. So it's a semi rebuild time for the Guildford Flames, but I don't think they did themselves any discredit. It was a game of mistakes, and Sheffield capitalised on more of them, I feel. So yeah, a good performance, but a result that we all expected.
No, it was. I think, in fairness, all three of us predicted that one. But I will say, well, I should have mentioned it was an entertaining game when you look back on it. And during it wasn't for either fan base, but it was a great game compared to what we saw later on. So we'll talk about the second semi-final, but we'll give them, because it involves Belfast, we'll give Scott the opportunity to address the new title of Belfast Scott.
I mean, what I do look good in white, but Paddy turns up and with a big smile on his face, and he hands me the Belfast Giants jersey, which I had to wear because earlier on in the season, I said a view from the bridge couldn't go a whole episode without calling a player by their nickname. I was making a point, and I feel like my point was made, but they smashed it first episode, so I had to don the Belfast colours. I was sitting in bunkers and I didn't want to go to the toilet or move because I just knew there would be some eyes. And everyone wanted a picture, and there are some pictures going around, which is not great because for whatever reason I didn't look too healthy on Saturday. I felt fine, but the eyes told a different story, as Mr. Williams showed to the world of X. But yeah, I took my medicine and donned the top for as long as I could.
To be fair, Scott was a little bit inebriated Friday. I came back to the room at a fairly sensible time. Scott couldn't put a sentence together, which is rare for Scott because Scott is a normally big drinker, and he was just yapping away like he was speaking Welsh to me or something. It was really weird, and that wasn't the worst thing that happened that night either. You know when like you go to bed and like you, well, I'll set the scene a little bit more. There's a bit of a mess up with the room. And with Scott and I were in a double bed rather than two singles or two doubles in a twin room. So I had the pleasure of sharing a bed with Scott. We did the negotiation. I go on the right, he goes on the left. Both sleep on that side, apparently, anyway. And you know when you wake up and like you're half asleep and like you go to roll over, you assume like, you know, your partner's there, I'm going to go and cuddle into Izzy. And a split second, it dawns on me, it's not Izzy, it's Scott. And I kind of woke up a little bit to see a male naked furry bum staring at me. So it woke me rather quickly, and I had to sort of make sure I just turned over back to the side I was facing in the first place and left him to it. And then I woke up to go to the loo, maybe an hour or so later, nearly time to get up. He's still in the same position. I believe it's the fact he's got no clothes on. I didn't look though, obviously, and I just got back into bed and just hoped not to be sort of accosted in return at any point. So it wasn't the Friday I expected, but it could have been worse. I just happened to stop myself just at the right time.
I have no defense. They're all facts. I apologize in the morning. But anyway, thanks for that. We'll move on. Let's
Yeah, enough about
let's.
the yeah, let's move on. Let's talk about the worst ever semi-final in Finals Four history.
What's a big statement?
No, it's not. Because
Blimey.
that game was shit.
Was it shit, or was did Keith just absolutely outcoach the GB head coach?
I mean, every chance. But when a pigeon is the more entertaining thing in that game, it speaks volumes to how bad the game were.
It was a bad game, right? But I just feel like Giants did what they need to do. This Devils team didn't turn up. And I thought they had the best opportunity. I thought that they had the better team, but that wasn't the case. Devils offered nothing. It was pretty obvious that the Giants were going to win. And that 3-on-3, I'm sorry,
God.
Evan Mosey seen that it was Cole Sandford and thought, I have no faith in you, and I'm going to double up on Prince, which then just left the puck scrambling. Prince all alone, nice finish, high glove on bounds. We've seen that before, but that just showed that they it was bizarre. They just it wasn't any good. It was pretty woeful, I'll be honest, and not what I expected to see from the Cardiff Devils. But I will say this, I think it's a blessing that the Cardiff Devils didn't get through, and a blessing they didn't get a chance at the title, because it just shows that they need a new team. I'm sure we'll talk about that. But yeah, as a whole, damp squib.
It was. But I'll ask John this first question about the game. On the last episode, we said that that game was a bit of an examination for Bounds and Whistle. Would it be fair to say, you know, unless you disagree, Whistle starts against Canada?
Before we go into that, you mentioned the pigeon. Can we have like a moment's silence in respect of the death and the passing of said pigeon? Now, we all know how entertained we were more about the pigeon and the game during that game. And to wake up to the sad news Sunday morning that the league had to take into their own hands. I understand they probably had to do that. He doesn't want to leave by his own accord. They had to do what they had to do. But poor old pigeon is no more. And it's the biggest travesty of the weekend. Yeah, so moment's applause, moment's silence, rather. What are we doing? David looks confused.
It's not the most not the worst thing that happened that weekend.
Show some respect, David, to the poor pigeon.
Can I just say the pigeon was injured, so it was humane to do that. It had a bad foot.
I'm not saying it wasn't. I said the league probably didn't have a lot of options, to be fair. But we still should respect his passing, nonetheless. Back to the question in hand. It's a fair question, David. It really is a fair question. I think if you'd be neutral about it, you'd have to say Whistle at the moment is the on-form goalie. For sure, he's one of the most on-form goalies in the league, let alone British goalies. I don't know. I just think that with Bounds, he's got two things going in his favour. One, experience. He's played a lot of big games for GB already. He's typically been the number one goalie over Whistle for many years. Not to say that should never change. And his club coach is also his national coach. And if he's back in Cardiff next season, Bounds needs to know that Russell's got his back. I wouldn't be surprised to see Bounds start just based upon those key facts, I think. But to be fair to Whistle, he's put himself forward. And you couldn't really argue if he did get the nod. But I just think I think Bounds will start over him.
That's fair. I disagree. I do think that Whistle will probably get the nod, but I understand the points you're making there are more than valid. Scott, let's just delve a little bit deeper on your point that Keith out-coached Pete Russell. I struggled to kind of go with that just because of how poor the game. But then let me ask it in this manner. Do you reckon it was a tactic, as in to try and really neutralise Cardiff in every way, shape or form, that actually probably led to the boredom, but gave Belfast a better chance of making the final?
Just clogged all the zones up. And then Pete should have expected that. Pete shouldn't have expected a free ride off Belfast. Maybe he expected them to be coming forward a little bit. But Giants just needed to get to the final. They've had such a disastrous year after the last 2 years. It didn't need to be pretty. And I just feel like the Cardiff Devils didn't really show any fight or anything new during the game when they seen it was going that way. Surely you would make the changes throughout the game. There was no jiggles of the lines. There was nothing. And I feel like there was a lot more intensity from the Belfast Giants. Their games between them have been pretty competitive this year. And I didn't see the compete level from from the Devils. I will say one thing, though, is they got away with a couple of too many men calls, which was pretty damning. I mean, I think they should be a coach's challenge. I know you can only challenge for certain calls if goals are things, but I think if a too many men call, there's no, barring if you're really close to the bench, there's no ambiguity.
Ambiguity.
There's no, fuck this. Keep it in. We're keeping
keep
it, it in.
Keep it in.
There's no what John said on that call. There isn't. If it's a blatant too many men call, it's a blatant call, isn't it? And I feel like when it leads to a goal, you should be able to review it.
Yeah, I agree. I was going to raise the same point myself because I was wandering around quite a bit during the weekend and I found myself behind the goal. The Cardiff were attacking when that happened. And it's like Dundee and Glasgow fans around there. And they were cheering for Cardiff. And they were going mad themselves. They're saying, you know, the first one, borderline, and happened maybe two or three more times. It was quite consistent. And in an overtime 3-on-3, with a game as important as it is, they shouldn't have got away with it. More than once, they got away with it. And if you're Russell, you're going to be fuming. So I think they definitely got lucky with that. But then that being said, Cardiff only got back in the game with a fairly soft penalty, but a dumb penalty that Belfast took late in the game. Why are you giving a referee a chance to call you when you're literally 200 feet from your own goal? That was an unbelievable penalty to take. If you're defending and it's the last gasp attempt to stop the other team scoring, fair enough. You shouldn't be taking a penalty behind the other goal line, the other end of the ice. So that was a bit dumb from Belfast. It kind of bought Cardiff a bit of overtime. At that point, they didn't look like scoring, to be fair. You know, I think a 1-0 game, as boring as it was, I couldn't see Cardiff getting back in it, and that power play got them back into it. But yeah, after all the hype, boys, we thought that'd be a good game and it'd be like, you know, end-to-end. And even the 3-on-3, it just felt like the Russell didn't know his best sweeper out there. It looked a very disjointed three he was putting out at times, and there was literally not a lot of chemistry out there. The amount of air shots, I know the guys are tired, don't get me wrong, and I just think that at times they were found wanting, and they had a lot of chances before Belfast scored. Cardiff had the better chances, and they didn't bury them. And, you know, they deserve what they got.
And for fairness, I agree in terms of what Cardiff didn't do, and it's disappointing with the numbers that they brought as ever the weekend. One thing I do want to kind of say, because they announced it on the Friday, they actually said, because of the video reviews, and we tweeted it saying, thank goodness for that, but actually, what I was more impressed with, they actually listed what was to be challenged by the coaches, or could be, what would be challenged by the refs. A little bit of transparency, we'd be safe for that. How good was that?
Yeah, pretty excited. I thought, because Russell wanted to call something, I thought Chris Ellis did a great job, because I was in Salt Box watching it. He did a great job in explaining what was going on. I think he's been a great addition down in the between the two benches, because he knows what he's talking about, and it was good to see. One thing I'm not happy with, and I know it's playoffs, and people can take the piss out of the playoffs, but it's one all fans want to win, regardless of whether the league is the main thing. But it's great achievement to win it. You love winning it. A semi-final's been finished on 3-on-3. I put out the joke thing about Pete saying he doesn't like 3-on-3. About it. It was a bit of satire, but I can't see a cup competition being settled 3-on-3. It's a lottery. It should be 5-on-5 for 10 minutes in a semi-final, maybe then penalty shots. 3-on-3, not for me. In a semi-final. I don't know
what you're saying. I get what you're saying, and I do agree. I think the problem they have is scheduling. I think a 3-on-3 gives you more chance to get a goal fairly quickly, and with the tight timelines between games, there's not a lot of turnaround time, of course, is there between the first and second game, yeah, if that's the game it goes to. And then the second game, the later it goes, the worse it is.
10 minutes, 5-on-5, then pens, then?
I'd rather be full penalties, but we can't do it because in a full period, rather. We can't do it because obviously because the game could last forever.
I think we'll see a change. I don't think they'll go 3-on-3 next year. I think that it's too limbo. It's as you said, it's just to get the game done. It doesn't sit right with me.
And with all that's on stake, yeah, no, I'm leaving that one. So that was that semi-final. And we'll move on to Sunday.
Boys, before we move on, thoughts on the times. What a shit day. It felt like you're hanging around for a long time for 3 o'clock and you're getting out of that arena late on the Saturday. Most people are just exhausted. And they have their reasons, but it's clear to me the reason is to try and get people in the building as late as they can to spend money. Now, obviously, when you spend money on alcohol, that's inevitable, but more likely food, because you're not going to be waiting until after 10 to get out of the arena to eat. So it kind of forced people into eating, but it's a long day, guys. I think starting at 3 and starting at 7, not for me. Go back to the old times, because it felt like a long ass day and everyone was exhausted.
My first playoff weekend, it was 2 and 6 on the Saturday. And then at one stage, it went down to 1 p.m. and 5 p.m.
One of five a long time, yeah.
Yeah, I don't get that. It makes no sense. I mean, Scott loved wearing the Belfast shirt for longer. But I just, yeah, 3 and 7, no. Let's have it a bit earlier and be a bit fairer to the fans and what they'll need to do. And we'll go on to a few other bits that you mentioned later on. Third and fourth playoff game, the Hangover Cup. 7-5 Cardiff, congratulations on the bronze medal. bang that on the CV. £15 to stream that game. Because I don't think we're going to talk much about the game. But £15 to stream it. I get that's the buzz cost of a webcast in the UK. But when you've got people who can't go subscribing to Premier Sport, one cost there, another cost again. And I appreciate that the setup of it will have a cost to, bring money back in, but I thought that was a bit steep for that type of game.
Ridiculous. I'd love to know how many they actually sold. Will they do it again? I think it's the first year they've actually streamed it. When they announced it, they didn't announce it to the morning as well. Then they had Jonathan Fernley on comms. They had a few people dropping in and out that we clearly never done co-comms in their life. It just wasn't. I mean, bless Fernley, you know how good he is at doing comms, but yeah, it was poor. It's just a niffing game. The players aren't arsed. It's one for the bettors to do the over 6.5 or 7.5s. It's a shit way for players to finish their careers. Someone that retires, there's no need to then try and get the money out of it, even a little bit, squeezing that little bit of extra money. But are we surprised?
And I've just gone on to the odds over and under. I thought they were poor this year. So I wonder if they're all cottoning on to
Of course they
premium
are.
results for fans across the UK who certainly milked that cow. But John, yeah, so, half full building. But the report I got from a friend was even the Glasgow Clan fans weren't bothered about it. And you know that they'll sing regardless. And good, I'm not saying that in a piss take. That's a credit to them, but they couldn't give a damn either. It's a bit of a nothing game, isn't it? And
Yes, it is a nothing game. And talking about the stream, this would have been a better to go free to air. I know they're trying to justify the ticket price, and we think it's classed as a fourth game in your ticket price for the weekend. But boys, I went to the arena. I went to kind of nip in and out of the game. I didn't watch any of it. I was literally walking the corridors, catching up with friends from other country, and that was just amazing to see people that I've not seen for a year, maybe in some cases longer. Stroking my ego a little bit. It was quite nice to kind of be told, like, how many times, how good it was to see me. But the game itself was shit, from what I hear. It was 1-1, I think, when I decided to go over to Saltbox and see the people. And I just, even in there, no one's even talking about it. There were Devils fans in there as well, from teams, Guildford fans in there. Even fans involved couldn't be arsed. Just the league need to sort of just forget it. They're not going to replace it with like an England-Scotland game like in the old days. I think people would rather lay in bed if they're not prepared to sort of bring something in its place, like an all-star game or something. I know they'll probably say it's costs, but it's just a very convenient game to put on, isn't it? Your two teams are already there that don't want to be there. They do not want to be there. They both lost semi-finals. They're both pissed off. The season's done. The last thing they want to do is go and get an injury in a shitty game on a Sunday. The fans don't want to be there. Just scrap the whole thing. Bring the face-off time a bit earlier for the main game and let people get home a bit earlier the weekend if they're travelling back on Sunday. The game is shit.
we'll be talking about this again next year.
Yeah,
Oh, for sure, for sure.
but the reality is, people, if the ticket's 99 quid, 90 quid, people still pay it for the free games. So look, people aren't going to go, oh my God, we're not getting the third, fourth place game. Drop the prices. It was never going to happen, and people will accept it in reality. Just stop. Just, I don't know. I ain't got an answer for you, but the third, fourth place game is not the answer to any
It's
question.
irrelevant, isn't it? Just get the game gone and get it face off to them a bit earlier, and let's just get the
Get
weekend finished.
some pigeon races or something, Lol. I don't know. Just get something different. Get some
Just
dogs on the
I
ice
know
doing
what we
some
could
run
do.
mascot race. So I don't, just something.
We have a
Dog.
tear up, couldn't we?
Hang
Let's have
on.
a Royal
No,
Rumble with the fans.
no, 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 no. Scott's got the answer. Dog race. Let's have dog
Dog race,
race.
yeah. Of
People will go in for it.
course it would.
Let's have like a bit of an all-star kind of like Royal Rumble on the ice. All these elite league hockey fans are just, been chirping each other all weekend and all season. Get them on the ice. Last man standing.
I'm
No?
sure that fits the family-friendly sport element, but it's different. We'll give you that. So yeah, that was done. Then we go on to the main event, the final. Sheffield Belfast, 3-1 victory for the Steelers. quite a number of contentious moments, and a lot of nicoetting on social media afterwards from fans of Belfast, but we'll go into it in some form of chronological order. John, thoughts on the game?
A very tense game. A little bit of background. Obviously, as you all know, I was a Devils fan in a former life until about 4 years ago with it. Things happened that made me sort of fall out of love with the club. I was done with hockey and I didn't think I'd ever feel those emotions again. And after a couple of years, I started watching Sheffield games and stuff. And I knew I was in because I'd watch all the games and I'd be supporting. But I knew I was in at the weekend because I felt the same to me when Sheffield was scoring. And my new friend Jack, my new high five mate, and when the goals were going, I was hugging him and we're just doing all these like high fives and stuff. And it was a good feeling, you know, to be in the final and to feel hated. It was kind of ironic having hated Sheffield in the past myself. Game itself, though, it turned on that power play, which was a power play. As much as Belfast are crying their eyes out now that it wasn't a 5 minute major, like they always will. It was a shit penalty to take, and I'm glad they did because of course they scored two goals, and they got lucky in respect because either way it evened itself out with a soft call on Ursula. Because if they played the full 5 minutes, they would have scored maybe another one or two. They looked dangerous every time they were attacking. Very tense, obviously, when you got a one goal game for such a long time, it's bound to be tense. But yeah, I'm struggling to talk to Scott, and you can come and bail me out, please.
Can't bail you out, mate. You're well in now with your Sheffield love.
Oh, yeah.
Look, we said back in October, Watling skates with his head down low, and he's going to get his bell rung. It's been rung a few times. I don't like it. I don't. You can tell me that's the way the forwards have been told to skate, but I don't think you should be skating around the boards like that. And you're going to get hit. Look, the argument is at 2 minutes, it's at 5 minutes. It's done at a very fast pace and it is a heavy hit. And he does go into the boards. So it depends what day of the week it is, whether you call it a five or a two. I personally like to have seen it a two because I don't think there's a malice. I think Watling needs to protect himself a bit and I'm not surprised it's happened. But then I feel like that's game over after two goals. Sheffield don't give up leads. There was a stat today after the first period, Sheffield have led 43 times. They've won all 43 times. They haven't lost a game when they took the lead after the first period. That's not, you can't just make that up. That's just the way it is. Two massive goals on the power play. I think Belfast huffed and puffed. There was an incident. Sorry, David. What did you think of the hit before we go on to the next bit?
I, at the time, thought it was a five game. I'm not
Yeah.
going to lie.
Yeah.
I've seen it again because I kind of wanted to see it before we did this, just to kind of go, am I right? Or, yeah, 5 minute, not a game. So, in fairness, I'm happy it weren't a game. Now I've seen it again. Taking yourself out of being absolutely engrossed as a fan of one of the teams. Interesting that a number of officials, past and current, have actually said the referee's got it spot on. Tom Darnell was tweeting about it. Dave Cloutman has actually gave some form of reason, and then someone's gone, there's another angle, do you want to look at it? And he's gone, yeah, he's lucky it weren't game. So the referees are saying that they've called it right. I get what you're saying about what in terms of skating low. It doesn't help. I just thought that the hit was he didn't need to do it. In respect of, he could have easily just pushed, not pushed him to boards, but just glided him in,
Guided him.
kept him in, and maybe got a 2 minute holding.
Yeah.
If he'd done that. Instead, he's tried to, I get that, it's a Keith team. They're going to make hits. So I get that, and I'm not knocking it. But like you say, it cost him. It gives Sheffield opportunity. And for once, and I'm saying this not tongue in cheek, but actually a power play from Sheffield that looked dangerous. Even more this year. We've had times where it's been good, it's not looked good. And even with the players like Valorant out, and it just looked like every time they were going to score, they kept moving Belfast's box all that time. So it opened the door for Sheffield to go, right, thank you very much. To be fair, the goal that Belfast scored, just to kind of move on a little slightly, nice finish. Found the absolute top corner. Yeah, I didn't like it until that third goal.
Look, 2-5. I think I'm in the 3.5 minute marker on that one. So I
If
can
only
see
we
why.
don't. If only we could do a 3.5 minute penalty.
I can see why it was a
Even if it's a
five.
two plus, even if it's a 2+2, though, he'd still score the two goals because the two goals came in the first minute or so
Well,
of
you
the
bet.
power
Yeah, I
play.
know, but it's a different mentality when you're on a five because you're worried that you're going to ship three. A 2+2, the max you can concede is two anyway. So, look, I've got no horse
Yeah,
in the
but to be
race, does it
fair, they had
matter?
a soft penalty to even out because you still was
Yeah.
being held. It should have been a 5-on-3. It should have been a five
Yeah.
on three. Usually it's being held, and as it happens, eventually the referee then calls a retaliation, and so they had the last 2 minutes taken away from them. Belfast at that point already had two power plays as well, which
Yeah.
they didn't convert. So Belfast fans make a lot of noise. We all know this. When they're always like hard done by, they love when it takes 15 minutes, you know, to review a goal on a laptop, and they laugh forever years afterwards. And they're always the victim when it goes against them. It didn't change the course of the game. Yeah, in terms of it was good momentum for Sheffield,
I don't
but
think you can say that.
I can.
I well, they scored two goals on the.
Yeah,
Of course, it
exactly.
changed the
And
momentum of the game.
in a 3 minute power play,
But it still, it massively changed the momentum of the game. You
they
can't
had two
say
power
that.
plays first. They didn't take a chance. They
Well, I get that, but it still changed the
could
game.
have got ahead of Sheffield early on. Too many power plays. You convert one, you're leading against Sheffield. Game on.
Granted,
But the
but
bottom line is they didn't do enough.
I'm
And they
not.
got lucky.
No
They got lucky
complaints
on that
there.
5-on-3, and they got even now.
One thing I'm not happy with is the Allen hit and friends' reaction to Allen hitting him behind the net. Allen's gone for a legitimate hit. Friend is able to be hit. The puck is in between his legs, and friends tried to embellish it with a holding his head, throwing himself down, and I didn't like the way he kicked himself up. I thought that was not sportsmanlike at all. He's tried to think, they've got a 5 minute game earlier. I'm trying to get one back, and that's not hockey for me. And I wasn't impressed with the Belfast Giants in that way in any sense or form. I thought it was maybe a 2 minute penalty at most. Even then, I'm struggling to say is it even a penalty? I don't know what you boys think.
I had to again watch it again because I couldn't remember the hit from the actual game itself. But it's a weird from the angle available. But you're holding the head, so your head's put first point of contact. From what is available, it doesn't look like he even hits the head at all. So I kind of lean towards what you're saying there, Scott, in terms of he's trying to get, trying to maybe manipulate the new video system of let's try and make it look like so it may be downgraded, etc., etc. Yeah, that's not hockey. That weren't good. It didn't look good either. Irrelevant what you think in terms of, I mean, I know, again, the Belfast fans, and they do like to make a lot of outside noise, and they're good at it, and their fans know that. But they're all saying it's a dangerous player, blah, blah, blah. You need to, I don't understand how you can say that and not kind of go, that's a poor reaction from the Belfast player. And I'm not saying it because it was a Sheffield Belfast game. Any other team does that, and you go, no, that's not hockey. Play it honestly. Be honest about your play. Be honest about your reactions. That weren't honest. I don't know what your thoughts on that, John.
I agree with what he's saying. It wasn't honest, but by the same token, it's a game that they need to get back into, and he's trying to do something for his team. I'm all for sportsmanship. I would rather teams be honest and players be honest, but in that split second, he's trying to buy himself a penalty for his team, help his team, and then if that gets given, he's won, and then the Belfast fans say nothing about it. Yeah, that penalty was deserved. So I can't blame him for doing it. He's trying to get his team back in the game. It didn't work. He looks a bit stupid, but in that split second, yeah, maybe we do the same. Boy, do we play in competitive sport? Maybe we just do the same ourselves. I'll knock him for it.
Maybe, but as a half in the pushback, Giants they huffed and they puffed. But when you've got Kevin Tansey just casually doing a 180-yard chip finish, one of the best empty net goals I've seen in a long time.
It was sexy as fuck. It felt like when you're watching like a film, when it goes in slow motion for a
Fuck me,
basketball
mate!
game or
You got
something.
your Kleenex out. It was just a good finish. Jesus
Oh, mate.
Christ.
I was down there and it was going, you could see that from the second it literally left his stick. It was dead center. Like, that's going to go all the way. That's going to go all the way. That's going to go all the way.
But
Yeah.
from my angle, you couldn't tell until like closer because I was on the goal line. I couldn't tell until and then it was like, and you just had this actually inhale a breath from the whole section that went behind the net, and then yeah.
What was glorious as well, though, not just the goal being glorious, the thousands of fans that left the second that went in, literally just emptied the building. So it was funny.
The traditional fans.
Scott, stop rolling your eyes, Scott, tonight. You're doing my head in tonight. You're rolling your eyes all the time.
You just hate the hatred. You say I hate things, but you just hating
But you're
people.
just rolling your eyes. Just own it. You just roll your eyes all the time.
Because you just want to slag off Belfast. It's...
I was a slag off Belfast. I'm talking
Oh,
about
that was it. You actually slagged off Belfast all
that
episode.
was about loads of fans leaving the building. I didn't mention
Belfast fans.
Belfast fans. No, they stayed. It was all the neutral fans. And remember, you're not allowed to be a neutral. So all these neutral fans that were supporting.
It's never going to be neutral at the playoffs.
There we go. But it's not allowed to be neutral
Ah,
in
well,
a regular
who tells you
season
what to
game.
do? Why do people have to
So
talk to you?
I won the second Belfast. So own your shit.
Okay. Yeah, you've not slagged Belfast at all tonight. At
I
all.
have, of course, I have, and I
Any
own
given
it.
opportunity.
I always own it. You
Okay.
roll your eyes and you slag Sheffield, but you don't own it.
I don't,
That's the difference.
as again, we can't prove
You
I'm not slagged
rolled your
Sheffield.
eyes.
Never
Stop
slagged
rolling
Sheffield.
your
I've been
eyes.
very, very
Okay.
complimentary.
Well, you're telling porkies.
Never slagged Sheffield.
Yeah,
Can't
okay.
prove it.
Whatever. Whatever. Well, I've never slagged off Belfast Giants. Anyway, stop
I
rolling
can
your
prove that. I can
eyes.
show you snippets from this episode.
Diva.
Anyway,
Stop rolling.
one thing I'm not happy with is Kevin Tansey shaving his beard.
Yeah, I've got to pass comment on what just said there. In fairness, Scott, I did think I was back in Monaco. I thought I was on the slot machines again with your eyes rolling back. I'm not going to lie. I was like, geez. But yes, let's go Tansey. No, I'm not getting it. I'm going to assume it, but I'm like, I'm back in Monaco again. Before John calls me Tory once more. Yeah, Tansey, what are you doing with that bin, mate?
No, not
His
happy with
partner
that.
loves you, and you've done that. No. At least Horseman hasn't. At least Horseman hasn't got rid of it.
Maybe for I'm going to Civic Hall today. I'm gonna trim it up. But
Look smart for the Lord Mayor.
yeah, who had
Which,
no clue
yes.
about ice hockey, not having it, obviously.
I hadn't seen that, boys. That's a bit disappointing to hear.
Yeah,
Oh, was it?
I'm not having the mayor with an ice hockey fan.
Yeah,
You
they'll
never
rock up in
know
their
what
tunes.
when hockey teams get that type of civic reception, it's a rarity. So, and kudos for Sheffield City Council recognising the team in that respect. But
David, before we move on, speaking of Tansy, he's back, apparently. They've announced he's back, haven't they?
so they haven't announced he's back, but the way things were said and mannerisms would very much suggest that Tans is back.
Okay, I
Tony
thought it was official.
Smith said that a lot of them are already back.
Why wouldn't you?
Oh no,
Yeah, exactly.
100%. This, there's players there. I mean, if you can keep them all, you'd
Well, I had a
keep.
look. I had a look with the Sheffield Steelers. Right, you've just won a Grand Slam. You're treated very well. You 8,000 fans a week. You're playing in CHL, and then you look at the players. Where can they go? Barring out of all the imports, barring Greenfield and Balmas, they've all played in Europe. So where are they going to go? What? And they're all around the 30 years old. Why would they go to Europe for what? Potentially.
Maybe
There's no move there that they're going to better
Cornet
themselves.
from having another pop at one of the top leagues.
But I think in reality, the ages they are, they're going to be playing in the CHL. To defend the Grand Slam, I feel would be a great achievement because let's be honest, it's not done. There's only Balmas and Greenfield, which are two very important players. But if you look at Balmas at the start of the season, you're not thinking he's going to have that season he does.
No.
And the way he is acting, it looks like he's back. It's Greenfield's the one. Whether he thinks that he, I think he's 29. Whether he thinks he can go to Europe, but even if he does, it's a very attractive proposition to come in and play for the Sheffield Steelers as the goalie. And if you can get Marone back, who hadn't lost the game, they're onto a steady footing. So I think Tony Smith is very confident in saying that you probably will get 80% of this team back, and I think that's great for the league in the sense of it makes other people step up. You're not having the same Belfast Giants. Yeah, well, you are from a couple of years ago probably, but it's as an opposition fan, I'm thinking shit, but it makes everyone pick their game up.
That's
It
it.
sounds like no to me. Sorry, David. The way you spoke so passionately then, you're moving across to the orange side, aren't you? You sounded excited and
There's
enthused
nothing
by
orange
that.
in my life,
Orange
mate.
tie. Orange tie. Slowly becoming one of the magnificent Orange Bastards.
I've never been an Orange man. I'll tell you that.
We've recruited Dominic. You're the second one of the group we recruited. We've recruited Dominic on Saturday night. Dominic was angry about the Devil's performance. So I calmed him down and reminded him that he doesn't like Belfast at all. In fact, he's known to have said some things about Belfast in his past. He doesn't like Sheffield, admittedly. But Sheffield winning, of course, meant a County Cup. And Dom's eyes lit up. Dom smiled. I welcomed him to the family. So Dom's already on board. You're coming across as well. Nope. Slowly but surely, David, we're getting them all. We're infiltrating all the boys and we're getting them all over.
But reality is, the other teams have to step up. Belfast, look, there's no quietness in Belfast. If they get Conway, Pickenich, Bass back, that's a massive coup. I still think that line needs David Goodwin. Does he hold off going into his actual professional career? But I mean, getting them back, and then it gives. Well, sorry, boys, but I'm just going off on one now. Cardiff Devils not win anything again. It's still the hangover of Scoldy's recruitment. Maybe they have to change it. Surely.
I think, in fairness, when you see a team that slams it, like you say, everyone has to wake up and everyone has to go and match the bar to get things. Irrelevant of what that team has done the year after, they have to match that bar. And Sheffield has done that and they've moved it again. And if it makes the league better, I mean, let's be fair. You know, Guildford are going to have to change. They'll probably get better. Fife they've got the coach early, so they're going to be better. Dundee, again, Lefebvre's back again. You've got Glasgow with Corey Nielsen. So if the teams get better, get more competitive, along with Manchester, it makes the league better. And then people may say next year that league good next year, and it'll be boring that they all have done this year. I want to ask you, Scott, one question just before we move on to other bits about the play, if we can. Given that I called overtime in the second semi-final, does that make me now the guru of predictions for this podcast, like John was milking the week back?
You want that title, mate. You want that moniker. You can have it, mate.
Thank you.
I remind you, you predicted a Devils win, though.
I called overtime.
Call it overtime is like calling someone's going to win the game, but not saying who. If you called overtime Belfast win, I'd happily pass the baton on to yourself, David. Don't try and steal something.
I'm not trying to steal anything. I don't want that. We've got to keep the old people happy. And
we all predicted a Devils win, and yes, it didn't happen. So my title is
pipe down, mate. Just aside, guys. The weekend's done, and we'll go into just a few other bits from the weekend. We've mentioned the face-off time. I've got to mention the food and drinks price. People know that people go to the Pfeiffer weekend and like to have a good time. That arena was charging a heck of a lot of money for the stuff. And bizarrely, it was cheaper outside. Drinks were cheaper outside than it were inside. Even though it was the whole thing. And I just think, I know sometimes arenas will charge a bit more because you've got your audience, they can't just go anywhere. But I just thought it's like, come on, guys. You've got a sellout. Give a bit back. Because you're going to make the money. You're going to get sales throughout the weekend. Just give a bit back. I don't think that's... And I appreciate business is business and all that. But I don't think that's too much to ask, is it?
No, you're right. It's just the norm, isn't it? It's just hockey fans. They'll just be fleeced as much as they can be fleeced. Everything was like a quid or two more than it was last year. Again, it goes back to what you said earlier about the timings of the game. You know, it was definitely done for me to maybe you'll spend more money in the arena, especially Saturday night. Personally, I didn't buy anything in the arena. I made a point of going out of the arena to the local shops and getting stuff and getting food when I needed food. And there's only one person in the grand scheme of things, so I'm not going to change it. I wasn't prepared to be ripped off. No way I could do a nice little walk outside, get some fresh air and get drinks and food for a fraction of the price. But yeah, it's a bit unfair. I mean, I know fans go there expecting to spend some money, and you've got to go, like, your kids in tow, and it's four of you, and you've got to buy food and drinks for four of you. You're talking like a best part of 50 quid, and it's a lot of cash, but the thing is, the fans will pay it. You know, we're used to it now, and it's a weekend where they want to fleece the fans for the last little bit of money before the summer starts, rather, and Ain't going to change as a boys. We can moan and rant all we want, but it's not going to change.
The issue for me is, and why I feel it should change, is if you go to Nottingham Arena any other time, you're going for a concert or you're going for an ice hockey game, you're usually there for 3 hours. And that's their only business of the day. They're not going to have any other event going on. When you're there for 8, 9 hours, I think they should counter that in. Why do you need to charge £8 for a pint? There's not need. You're going to sell it because people are there all day for an 8 hour event. There's no need to treat people like this. And I feel it has put many people off. If you listen to what people are saying, they're like, it's becoming unaffordable. You've got the third, fourth place game. There's not much attraction to do it now. And there's also people not watching the games that their team aren't involved in. It used to be the case that you would just go and watch both semis, especially when it was the earlier times. But when you're playing at 3 o'clock, you might go out and just, you know what? They've got it on in Salt Box. They've got it on elsewhere. I can watch it and eat some food. I just feel like when it's an 8, 9 hour event, you're just taking the piss.
I mean, even coffee, coffee's like four and a bit quid. And you're like, because obviously it's not just about drinking soft drinks and all that, okay, but they're just as expensive. I think a Diet Coke was 4.60,
460,
4.20.
yeah. I was with her, the chef of father I know, and I was like chatting away to her, and then she just bought a drink and she paid 460. And she said, oh, actually, this is not right, it's flat. And I found they replaced it. I thought, do you know what? So I left her, went outside, went for a walk to newsagents, paid £1.20 for the same thing. It took me 5 minutes to walk up the road, and it was in a bottle. I just had a nice, fresher one, and she paid £4.60. And the first one that she had, it was flat, apparently. So, yes, that's a markup even from a retailer across the way of, 400%. It's got made a good point. We're taking into consideration the time that people are there for the whole weekend and how expensive it is. And I think he's right again about the fact that people can't be asked going to the games, because if you're sat in a pub in town, you're paying 7, 8 quid for a main meal and 3 or 4 quid, 5 quid for a pint, whatever it is, and you're having a good time. There's no incentive to rush back to watch the game. There it isn't. You might as well prioritize your eating and drinking there and get to the arena when you fancy it. And that, it should be addressed here. It should, there's a lot of people don't go to the weekend at all anymore that would go before. And it's not that you don't want to do it. It comes down to cost. If you think about it, boys, if you bought 4 tickets for your family, 4, hotel, transport, and food and drinks for 2 days, if you're a family, that would probably buy you a holiday abroad for a week somewhere. In reality, it probably is about the same cost to a family of four. And it's a shame that the fans just are not really thought of when it comes to the cost of these events.
I appreciate that there may be business reasons for it, but it was just something that irked a few things. One point I do want to kind of raise, and I suspect the topic, as much as John says he is, he's still neutral in my eyes. You always get banter at the party, you always get some nice humorous banter, but I'm not going to lie. I saw a couple of incidents from with my own eyes, not just reading it on Twitter. With the going back and forth between Sheffield and Nottingham fans and getting quite not banter at all, getting quite aggressive, vitriolic even. And I don't know if it's, I'm hoping it's just a one-off, but is that something that you really want to start in? I know some people love that kind of thing, a bit of shit house me not, but is that something that we really want to be going down that road on?
Well, from a few months ago, when it was all United and Nottingham and Sheffield, to be fair, were very much together because of the circumstances that sadly both teams found themselves in. That didn't last very long. It was a bit nasty, I found, at the weekend. It felt, and maybe because I've obviously seen it from a Sheffield perspective now, they were fans just being downright nasty, whether it be on social media, even in the arena. There was a bit of action going on between Fife and the Sheffield wags, and it just seems so unnecessary, and it's a shame. And it's all lone bullshit, everyone wearing these A4 bits of paper. It was like the early sort of, or mid to 2000s, when that was a thing at playoffs, walking around with like on loan to whoever. And like I made Dom say the other day, it's all well and good wanting a team not to win, but to passionately support a team that you don't like, it's weird. Seeing like Devils fans passionately supporting Belfast, and they hate Belfast. So I don't get it. I mean, if your team is not playing, then I can't see be passionate about another team. But whatever, each to their own. Scotty, what do you think?
I don't really care. I look after myself. And I had a great weekend and speaking to people, and I spoke to fans from all over. Sheffield fans, Belfast fans. I got bought a few pints. Lewis bought me a pint and said, "Well, happy to buy you a pint, mate." So I keep what I want to myself. And if there's going to be aggro, I'll sort it out myself. I won't resort to going on Twitter and moaning about it. I won't resort to abusing people on Twitter. People forgot how to behave after COVID, and that's really been a thing in this league. It's been a massive thing. I don't think you could say the word you say on Twitter and not get pulled up. People using retard, spastic. What are you playing at, mate? It's not acceptable. And it's not acceptable to abuse people. I think there was things of own fan bases between each other having pops at yourself. And then people going, "Oh, wish I was there. I'll sort it out." Well, you weren't. It's easy to act the big man when the matter of fact has gone past. I'm not going to get bothered by people because I found it's just a constant thing. I had no issues this weekend because I'm quite nice and I'll speak to people. And if they're nice to me, great. We'll have a good time.
But don't get me wrong, I had a great time and
I just feel like I think we're pandering a little bit when we just say, "Oh, what happened? Oh, what's this? What you know what I mean?" You say there was a little bit between the Nottingham and Sheffield fans. But if the Nottingham fans getting annoyed by a Sheffield fan, go say it. Go sort it out. Instead of just bringing it on and then we're just going to do the same thing next year and the same thing the next game. It's just, we're very unique in this sport that we can go to bunkers and we can all, eight different teams can have a drink together. If we want to go down the football route, then we're not going to have a playoffs. So fans need to think about that.
And I say, in fairness, the vast majority of the time, it was great. I would talk like you were chatting to 500 Dundee fans who were when I'm not met, and you know, got to speak to them. That's the beauty of this weekend. And it just, to me, it was more the, you see a bit more of an aggressive side of things where, like you say, if you don't want this because they'll take you, you're right, they'll scrap that. Because then you'll be saying, right, there's like sections called off by police and no one's going to want that. But no, to kind of end the weekend, you know, like you said, you know, spoke to many people. Had a lot of people come to me. I know they did to yourself, Scott and John, with comments about the pod. And thanks to everyone who made comments. And it was good to see. And people that I'm like, I didn't realise you listened. And it was just really nice to have that throughout the weekend. So, thank you all very much. So we're going to move on because we could talk about Sheffield winning the Grand Slam all in all, and it may offend some Cardiff fans, or good friends of ours anyway. But let's talk about the All-Star teams that were announced on the Friday. I'm just going to go through the list of them. Goal of the Year, Greenfield. Defender of the Year, Crawford. Forward of the Year, Balmes. Brit of the Year, Rob Dowd. Young Brit, Logan Nielsen. Coach of the Year, Matt Ginn. Don't know what you guys think, but they're all spot on for me.
No complaints at all. I think, nailed it. I think they kind of pretty all picked themselves. I'm glad to see Ginn get a bit of credit. I think it's easy sometimes to overlook teams that don't finish first. You know, just because you're third, fourth, whatever, it's still a great achievement to come fourth in a league like Manchester in. Please for him. Greenfield, Crawford and Balmes. Yeah, I got no arguments with him at all. Logan Nielsen, quiet start. Then he came to the fore, didn't he, after the turn of the new year and Christmas. And it's good to see. Hopefully he'll be a year or two away from being in the national team. And there was no one even close to him, I think, to be fair. So, yeah, very straightforward predictions for me.
The only one I don't agree with is defenseman of the year. For me, it has to be Kevin Tansey. I don't think I need to elaborate on that.
That's fair enough. Tansey would be just as good a call as Crawford, but then people perceive there's too much orange in it. We can't have that, can we?
We just won a Grand Slam.
I know that. You know what? I'm being facetious with that one.
Scott's getting more on board as we go on, isn't he? I love it, Scott. You're embracing it, Scott.
The magnificent orange bastard.
I like if
he like has an orange face paint, he'd be a Tango Man, wouldn't he? He's got the head for the orange paint as well.
Tango Man's fat. What are you saying?
I didn't mention your body. I mentioned your head.
Are you fat shaming Scott?
I mentioned his head. He brought weight into it.
Not very nice.
That's shocking, John.
I didn't mention one thing about your weight, Scott. Stop trying to be a victim now.
Apologies.
You talk about people being the victim, Scott.
Tango, man.
And you got into the same thing.
Disgusting.
I mentioned being bald and orange.
Tango, man, have a beard.
I can't remember. You can shave your beard, though, can't you? Can't grow any hair.
Anyway, enough about Orange for a second. The league did their lines 1 and 2 for their teams of the year. Quickly run through them because the names all sound familiar because we called pretty much most of them. Team 1, Greenfield, Tansey, Crawford, Balmer, Sanford, Watling. And Team 2, Wenninger, Sourceman, Dow, Valentini, Nass and Haddon. No surprises there, really, apart from... Well, actually, no, there's not really surprises there.
We called on Barr and Dryden Dow. I took some questions about my Sourceman inclusion of people, but I feel like it was very, very well deserved to get. Boys, let's give ourselves a wee tap. We got 11 out of 12 between us. I think we've done okay there.
Not bad at all, mate. Not bad at all.
Troy Lajeunesse, though, big miss.
That's what I was going to say. The one I was surprised, I was Lajeunesse. That was the one guy that I was surprised. Didn't get picked. Yeah, we did. We picked pretty much the same players. I think one for me I don't agree with was Wiz Watling and Sanford being on the first line. Both great players, obviously. And, you know, but especially in like Watling's case, he hasn't been always playing on the first line. They got a lot of depth in the Sheffield team, admittedly. I thought Nass should have been on the first line. He's been a first line role for his team. But yeah, if you look at all the players collectively, I can't disagree with any of them really. But yeah, apart from Lajeunesse, I think everything was spawn boys. So good job by us, I thought.
That was. It's like we may know something, which I'm not wanting to kind of brag about that one because we don't. But it's like we may have just nailed that one. So that's it in terms of the agenda. Any other business? Scott, we'll go with you.
Yeah, I do. And it's Daniel Tedesco. I don't get the hate that he's received from the Belfast Giants fans this year. The Belfast Giants fans have been very spoilt in the last couple of years in what they've achieved. And some of it's been wrong and a little disgusting in my eyes. CHL goal of the year. Their top goal scorer this year. Admittedly, it's not been a great year. I feel like he's been used wrong. I don't think you should be putting Tedesco on the PK when you're struggling for goals because he doesn't need those roles. He needs to just be purely concentrating on scoring. Take away last year's Conway's goals. He would have been third in that team for goals and points. Conway was a phenomenal last year. 90 points, 40 goals, 50 assists. That line carried that team to the title. He's not Scott Conway. He's not going to be. And some of the tweets directed at Daniel Tedesco has been wrong. Thank fuck Daniel Tedesco's gone. What? Like, have a bit of humility. Have a respect that Sheffield have just been better than you this year and you will come back again. But to single out players, I think has been downright wrong. And it will put players going off to Belfast because if that's your fan base when you're not winning, you're not going to win every year. Get behind your team, support them. Because 9 teams lose. I thought the treatment of that, and it's no surprise, whether it's true, I don't know if it's satire or it is true. I hope it's not true that he's selling his ware for £1, Daniel Tedesco on Facebook. If it is, it is. Do I blame him? But I tell you what about Daniel Tedesco. I reckon he would fit right in the Cardiff Devils team next year.
Yeah.
And if I was Pete Russell, I'd be like, mate, our fan base, to be fair, the Devils fans can be quite damning. But I feel like an arm around his shoulder and give 2 fingers up to that Belfast Giants organisation. Not the organisation as such, but certain fans, I feel like Daniel Tedesco has a point to prove. I don't want him going back to Guildford because I feel like that's the easy one. But look, he'd even go Sheffield as well, wouldn't it? Because they're going to lose at least a player. But I feel like a perfect fit would be the Cardiff Devils and just to go 2 fingers up to certain people because they're not earning thousands of pounds a week. he's got to go and work and he's got to have a normal life. And some of the treatment, disgusting. So, wrong.
Gotta be honest, just to back up on point, Scott Conway may not do Scott Conway the year after. That was
No.
a final year. So, yes, he was brought in to replace Conway, but sometimes a player may not replicate that. The only ones that do replicate that year on year, they don't play anywhere near the Elite League. They're more AHL, NHL for reasons. So, I'm with you, there's been quite the hatred for him, and yeah, I didn't get that. Anything else, Scott?
I don't believe so. Oh no, one thing,
Oh,
but
yeah.
mine's is an IHL, so it'll come back to me.
Okay, we'll do that. John.
Oh, my voice is getting even worse. The Tedesco, back on what Scott was saying, that was one of the playoff rumours. Cardiff have snapped at Tedesco, so we shall see if that comes to fruition. Time will tell. I think he's the kind of guy that he needs to be the guy playing for a team. I don't think going up at Belfast suits some players because you go from being the main man in someone like Guildford to being just another player, another good player in Belfast. They can slot you in first, second, third line. And to some extent, you're not going to get the minutes you maybe would get in other clubs. And obviously, he'll be judged on his previous goal return in Guildford and not maybe have the same. Then even with Conway, he didn't have the same results in his first season. Took off in the second season. So I personally think it'd be a mistake to let Tedesco go. If that is the case, I think if he goes to another team in the league, Cardiff or wherever, I think he'll kick off again. He'll have a great season. He's a good player. He's not a bad player all of a sudden. He maybe hasn't been used correctly over in Belfast. And if he does go to another team, then good luck to him. But yeah, I'm just happy, boys, that my voice has lasted as long as it has. And I'm sorry, I've not been my normal funny self with my normal quips as normal. But,
Trying to remember when you've been funny, mate.
Oh, Burn.
You set yourself. You set yourself up there, mate.
Oh, yeah. Freebie.
Scott, so your NIHL point.
Yeah, so the Final Four has been decided, which is in Coventry every year, which sells out. It's a great shindig. The NHL fans come and enjoy Wetherspoons, they come and enjoy Windmill, etc. The event sells out. So why are they charging £48 for a streaming pass for the weekend? If you want to get eyes on this sport, please tell me where they're getting that pricing structure from. Because I'm tempted to watch it, but I'm not tempted for £48.
Is that for all four games?
All four games, but you've sold out the event. You cannot get any physical extras in. Sold out. Barring, I think, a single ticket. Even Russ Cowley is looking for tickets for his family. It's going to sell out. So what is the thought process between £48 for the weekend? Are you going to, would you be tempted to watch NIHL hockey for a certain price? I think most people would. Leeds Knights in there, maybe. Not at £48.
Yeah.
The product is not is
What is the
anywhere near
price,
what.
Scott, for the weekend? What's the ticket price for the whole weekend
For
in
the weekend,
comparison
it's
to the league?
£65. £65 to
So it's
turn up.
almost half then what you're paying, like if you're paying the non-early bird price for the elite league, it's 114, isn't it? So
Yeah,
yeah,
but yeah.
that's a
65 for.
good value for the weekend pass.
Yeah, but not to
I'm
stream it.
not. No, exactly, for the streaming. That's what I'm saying. It takes a piss. It's almost the same price to stream as to actually physically be there.
Because the reality is, Leeds have got two blocks. They're there. What? They're, that's probably vast majority. Well, how many do they get? 1,500? So are they going to get an extra? If they, I don't know. I don't know who's going to be buying the pass that's not already there. Because Leeds fans will buy tickets off people that are not going. Certain fan bases don't have a lot of fans. MK haven't made it. So they might sell their tickets. I'd love to see the numbers on the £48. I know we like to slag off Elite League for numbers and we might be being a bit petty here. I don't get it though. £48. Bizarre.
No, I don't get it either, but time will tell if you ever get it right on the numbers front. So, John, anything else, or are you done for tonight?
No, I'm just done for the week, I think, mate. I think I'm still
No worries.
broken man.
So that's it. Season two, near as damn it done of the 303 podcast. Next week, or the next episode, will be more international related, as the World Championships are around the corner, very close. Myself and John are out there for the lot, so I'm not sure if we'll do anything on the socials and that. But I'll just reiterate what I said earlier on to everyone who came up to us, bought us drinks, just to say thank you to people, just saying, you know what, it's something different. I enjoyed it. The compliments we got, the ones I didn't expect, was very, very humbling, and really do appreciate. It's something we enjoy doing. We talk rubbish to ourselves, and to get people to say, you know what, we enjoy that. It's very much thank you ever so much. And I still speak for myself, John and Scott. Socials, as ever, Twitter, Instagram, Free on Free Podcast UK, Facebook, Free on Free Podcast UK. Keep doing on the Spotify. We're getting good numbers there. And that's it, gents. We need to stop because our voices are done, apart from
One
Scott.
last thing. I make a request. Scott hasn't sung so far tonight. How about you lead us out with Championes? Come on, Scotty. What do you think?
It's like the Jimmy initiation. The new caps have to sing "God Save the Queen" or
Now
"Keep."
he's one of us. He leads us out with Championes. Oh, let's do that. Da, 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 da. Come on, Scott. You can
Well,
rescue me now.
I would say it's end of season, but we have got a few more episodes to wrap up, so we can't put John away right now to tie him up for the summer.
Can you just sing the song for me, Scott? Make me feel
No,
better.
I'm not a performing puppet.
You listen, it's okay. You can admit it now.
No.
It's exposed. But you exposed yourself to me on Friday, and I exposed you.
Yeah. No, I want to say thanks to Kipper for his lovely words about myself.
Oh, that was brilliant, yeah.
Oh, speaking of Kipper, I had a great time with Kipper.
Legend,
Good.
he
Yeah,
did
I
say
was.
he meant it with love, and I know he did. I appreciate it. It was
Kipper is a
all fun
fucking
and games.
legend. I had a good couple of hours with him on Friday night for the first time in
He
years.
called me a whiny, and the word we don't use on this podcast, so you can make that up for yourself. But no, he meant it with affection in some way, I believe. But
Oh, I
no, it
love
was good.
Kipper.
It's time to say goodbye, boys. Over the summer,
Time to.
we are planning on doing some player interviews, diving into some facts and stats about players, because I love that. So that's what we'll be doing. But yes, let's close the gate, boys.
Let's consider the gate closed, and thank you for listening to another episode of the Free and Free Podcast.